Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, hey, church, it's great to have you with us today. And as you've heard our announcement that moving forward into our future together, we are going to be part of the IC Church family, a great church with great pastors in Pastor Paul and Joe Gearling. And all of our campuses, I really believe, are going to see growth on every front, as we've called this year. And I just think it is so timely to revisit this prophetic word, revisit this as a church as we both head into the back half of this year, but head into this future to remember and be reassured by the fact that God's got a great promise for our house and God's got a great promise for you, that it is a promise not to maintain, not to survive, not to just get on by and scrape on through, but to really experience the fullness of His promise, that God's got a big promise, a big blessing, a big harvest for you, your family, your career, your health, and our church, and to see all of our communities experience kingdom in an incredible way. Grab your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 54. I'm going to read this passage in the context of this, and today share a word for each one of us. Isaiah 54, it says, "Sing, barren woman, you who are never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." Goes on to then say, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." As a recap, this woman was barren. She had wanted to have children, hadn't been able to have children, and right into the middle of her barrenness, right in the midst of her battle, God brings a promise for really what had always been in her heart, but was ultimately the opposite to what her circumstances were saying. Said, "I'm going to give you a promise of a family and a legacy." And she grabs a hold of that promise and then starts to respond in faith. She expands her tent. She stretches the tent curtains wide. She adds rooms to her tent. She lengthens the cords. She has a faith response. Before she'd seen the promise, she was living in faith. And we go on to read that she will see great generational legacy flowing from that promise and from her faith response. And I thought, in context of the news for our church, but I really believe it's a word for all of us. Today I want to speak about capacity. It says the first thing that she was called to do in response to her promise was to deal with her capacity. She no doubt had a home that was perfectly suitable for her and her husband. Perfectly suitable, perfectly comfortable, nothing wrong with her little tent that would have had exactly what her and her husband needed, a bedroom, a guest room, a living space, whatever it was, but it suited where they were. She wasn't living in poverty. She wasn't living without. She was absolutely in a safe and appropriate space. But the first response, the first faith act that she had in response to the promise God gave was to deal with her capacity, was to actually start to deal with how much her life could contain the promise, how much her life could handle what was coming her way. And God said to her, the first thing, enlarge. How would you measure the capacity of your life? How would you measure the space that you can contain what God wants to bring your way? I am a terrible cook. I can do a bunch of things okay, but I'm a terrible gardener, by the way, and I'm a terrible cook. I can kind of do an okay barbecue, because that's not really cooking, let's be honest, but I'm a terrible cook. If you come to our home, it's Tam that will put on the feast for you, and her roast dinners are renowned around the place. But as for me, I'm a terrible cook, and partly is I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this does and what that does, but I can follow instructions of a recipe okay. And when you're following instructions, usually there are a whole lot of measurements. I want you to put a cup of this. This is how bad I am. A cup of this and a half a cup of this and a teaspoon of this and a tablespoon of this. And you know, as I have experienced and my family have experienced, if you get any of those measurements wrong, the whole recipe is a disaster. If you get your capacities wrong, if I put a teaspoon when it's meant to be a cup or a cup when it's meant to be a tablespoon, if you get capacity wrong, everything's affected. And I think it's no surprise here that God was speaking to her about her capacity, going, I can have this great promise for you, but if you don't deal with your capacity, everything's going to work out badly. If you don't deal with enlargement and getting big enough and making sure that your capacity matches the recipe, your capacity matches the promise, it's never going to work out. You know, in your career, in your job that you go to each and every day, or your family relationships, or your church relationships, or your health, what you eat, what every aspect of your life will have a corresponding promise and it will have a corresponding capacity. I went to the gym basically since I finished school, but it wasn't until my late 20s, early 30s, which was years ago, that I really actually got trained and educated and understood what was meant to be going on in that space. I actually got trained in my capacity and I had to change, I had to understand, my thinking changed, my food changed, my exercise changed, my schedule changed. Everything was affected. All my capacities had to be realigned and yes, stretched and yes, confronted and yes, it wasn't easy and couldn't do it being lazy or tired, all these sorts of things. But my capacity had to be dealt with so that the promise of health and fitness could be received. And the same is every area of life. Your capacity is essential when it comes to containing and experiencing the promise that God has for your life. It would have been no point God giving this woman a great promise for lots of kids and not addressing her capacity. I want to give you 5 kids that are going to lead to a generational legacy. Oh, you're in a small granny flat with no room. I'm going to give you a big family, but we're not going to deal with capacity. It would have been dysfunctional. It would have been hard. It would have been way less happy than barrenness. And the same thing is with our lives, capacity and enlargement. I think even then, beyond a personal level, us as a church, this step of faith for us as a church, Impact joining the IC church family, is addressing capacity. We are part of something large and exciting and visionary, and our relationships and our world and our anointing and our vision will get larger and larger and larger. Our capacity will grow. And so I want to talk about capacity today. And as God gives you a promise, what it means for personal capacity. Number one, to enlarge the place of your tent, firstly speaks about having bigger thinking. Bigger thinking. When God gives you a promise for your marriage, your kids, your job, your money, your faith, whatever it is, your future, one of the first things that has to be addressed is bigger thinking. You know, this barren woman had spent a very long time, her lifetime, developing a certain belief system. How she thought had been defined by this battle of barrenness. Her soul had been trained to think a certain way. Her soul had been trained to believe a certain way. Her soul had been trained to respond a certain way. Her soul had been trained to interpret a certain way. And that's why everything about her life, her relationship with her husband, her neighbors, her tent, her money, her kids, her energy, everything was affected by her thinking. In Romans 12:2, we read, do not be conformed to the behaviors and customs of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Everyone say renewing. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then after you've been through that renewing, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, that word renewing, it means get new thinking, and we know that. But when you drill deeper into the original language, it doesn't just mean new, it means new in order to grow. It's literally saying something more along the lines of get new thinking so that you can grow new thinking, have a growth mentality, grow and get bigger. Your and my old thinking keeps us small. Our old small tent thinking in our lives keeps us small. And it can be God's trying to bless, God's trying to move, God's trying to sow into your life, God's trying to provide, but a small thinking literally prevents a growth thinking and a growth life. Suki recently asked us, Dad, Mom, why do parents give lots of rules to their kids? It's one of those, for all the parents, one of those driving along, kid in the back seat kind of questions. She must have been staring out, philosophically looking out and coming back with these great philosophical questions that usually are followed up by, but why? But why? Anyway, she said, why do mums and dads give lots of rules to their kids? And Tam said, honey, do you want to answer that? To which I said, well, Suki, we want you to be the best person you can be, the exact way that God wants you to be. And so it's like school, we're teaching you how to do it. And when we teach you, give you a rule, it's not a rule for rule's sake. It's teaching you what to do and what not to do. And you know what? There was no why follow-up. My spur-of-the-moment answer satisfied her philosophical thinking, and we got through that one okay. But it really is that. You are as parents, programming thinking, and we all know we're trying to do the best job we can do to program thinking that will help children get into their God-given future. And that thinking continues through our lives. Let us be people who are constantly being schooled in our thinking, constantly enlarging our thinking. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to family after this, when you get up tomorrow morning, when you consider, do I go for that walk or do I go to the gym? When you consider, do I pray? Do I read the word? Whatever it is, always be prepared for thinking to be enlarged, because bigger thinking, greater capacity of thinking, Romans 12, bigger thinking leads to a bigger life. Number two, when we're speaking about capacity, is to have bigger thinking. Number two is to have bigger relationships. Bigger relationships. We've all heard the concept or thought of the concept of a hotel or motel having the sign up that says no vacancy. What they're saying is we don't have any more room. We are at full capacity. And so people turn away. People can't stay there. You could have the president turn up to stay and goes, oh, well, there's no room here. And you miss out on having royalty. The thing is, capacity decides our circle of relationships. Recently, we took Suki to a birthday party, and it was at a local kids' place where they do lots of parties. And I kid you not, everyone, there would have been 300 sugar-filled kids absolutely bouncing off the walls of this place. It was a zoo. It was a work, health, and safety nightmare. Risk assessments were being done on the fly. It was a zoo. And right there, Suki wanted me to go out on this trampoline with her in the middle of this absolute zoo. I said, no worries, baby, I'll go get an armband so I can come out. And I walk up to the counter, and there's this like 14-year-old girl with a clipboard standing behind the counter. Her name was Stacy. And Stacy had a lot of power in that clipboard, and Stacy had a lot of glint in her eye. She felt the power of the clipboard surging through her body. And I said, oh, hey there, I'd like to buy an armband so I can go out and play with my daughter with the billion other children that are jumping around. And Stacy looked at me, and with the authority that that clipboard gave her, she said, I'm sorry, sir, but we are at capacity and you can't play. I took a moment, and firstly, I had to remember that I was a Christian and I have patience apparently and love apparently and respect for a 14-year-old apparently. And I said, what do you mean you're at capacity? There are so many people here. One more isn't going to make a difference. She said, I'm sorry, sir. You'll have to come back in 15 minutes when I'm allowed to give out some more armbands. And so I just absorbed my love and appreciation for Stacy. And I said, all right, I'll see you in a few minutes' time. And she was saying, we're at capacity. There's no more room. No one else can come in. In our lives, at work, at home, at church, wherever we are, if we have a rigid small tent, if we have a rigid small sphere, doesn't matter what the people that God can send our way, if we have a sign up that says, we're at full capacity, no one else can join in, no one else can get an armband to come and play, we miss out on the God-given relationships. And so it takes openness, trust, expansive thinking, a sense of I'm not going to judge people or make it hard for people to get close, but I will be ruled by love. I will be ruled by kingdom. I will be ruled by relationship. I will put Ecclesiastes into practice where a three-braided cord is not easily, but two are better than one. I will put into practice what it is to be a brother and a sister to those around us. Bigger relationships. This woman had to be confronted and changed to expand how big her tent was, literally, so that more bodies could fit in the room. Lastly, bigger thinking, bigger relationships, and lastly, bigger faith. To do all this work on this tent took sacrifice. A price had to be paid. There was financial cost, energy cost, relationship cost, time in her day cost. It was an investment. It was a sacrifice to have a faith response. Now, in Hebrews 11, we read, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Sounds like a barren woman acting in faith. And it goes on to say in verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. And it goes on to list Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Moses, God's people at the Red Sea, God's people at Jericho, Rahab, David. The list goes on. It is people who before they saw it, acted in faith. It didn't take an expanding faith. It didn't take bigger faith for this barren woman to keep her tent small. The day before she got this promise, she had a good amount of faith. She'd been believing God, but she hadn't had to act on that and hadn't had bigger stretching challenged out of her comfort zone faith. But it was in response to her promise that her faith grew. As God gives you a promise, as you respond, it's not about works, but it's about responding to His promise and you watch your faith grow. Today, if you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you, Jesus is for you, and Jesus has a promise for you, and He doesn't say you've got to change to come to Him. He just says, believe in your heart that you're a sinner and confess, pray, and He will respond. It takes bigger thinking, a bigger relationship space, and bigger faith. You can respond and receive Jesus as your personal savior, as a helper for your mess and shame. And it takes a step of faith, but you know in your heart that it's time. I want to pray for you today. Lord, I pray for people who today, for the first time or again, need to get their relationship right with you. And I thank you, God, that your grace and peace and forgiveness is enough for them right here, right now, today. I pray that as they look to you, as they open their hearts to you, I thank you for the journey of faith that lies ahead for them, that they would receive an incredible sense of your promise and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. For us all, as a church, it's a new season of enlarged capacity. But at a personal level, let us be people who are experiencing enlargement of our personal capacity with bigger thinking, bigger relationships, and bigger faith. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.